school for a year or two, and you know you've seen it all. And at his coming, you'll go far back east, your time don't crawl. Play ethnicky jazz with the Rachel Snares on your bug-grab stereo. Bragging that you know how the niggas feel cold and the sun's got so much soul. It's time to taste what you most fear. Right, God will not help you here. Brace yourself, my dear. Brace yourself, my dear. It's a holiday in Cambodia. It's tough, kid, but it's life. It's a holiday in Cambodia. Don't forget to pack a wife. You suck like a leech, you want everyone to act like you. Kiss ass for your bitch so you can get rich, but your boss can switch her off you. Well, you'll work harder with a gun in your back for a bowl of rice a day. Slave or soldiers till you starve, then your head is skewered on a stake. Now you can go where people are one. Now you can go where they get things done. What do you need? It's a holiday in Cambodia, where people dress in black. Need a holiday in Cambodia, where no kids ask for crack.
Ich bin ein Hamburger on FSK 93.0. I Klappi Mishtur am again here in Cambodia with Dustin. Hello, Dustin.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're well.
This time is a bit different. So times have changed since last month where we were, you may remember last episode, we were in the jungle enjoying the freedom of northeastern Cambodia, whereas now
we are stuck in the urban center of Phnom Penh.
The wave of infections from that original February 20 incident has hit, so we're stuck at home in lockdown. So this is an extra special Ich bin ein Hamburger cooking show lockdown edition where
oh
we can't really leave. All right, so
but the extent of the lockdown today was a very unique moment where the police have started using whips.
Yes.
And this has been endorsed by the police chief that you can use the whips first, and then if things escalate, you eventually go to jail.
So it's whipping, come on, do the right thing, then fines, then jail. Yeah. For breaching zones, so that it's certain city zones, few kilometers, maybe 5 kilometers big. If you try to get out, you can't get out, you get the whip.
Shit is getting weird.
Which is quite extreme for Cambodia style. But yes, so trapped at home, curfew at 8 p.m. So trapped at home. And what are we cooking today, Justin?
Today we are going to make what is called okonomiyaki, or vegetarian Japanese pancake. Oh, mm-hmm. A bit of a faux pas there. Not a Chinese pancake. Vegetarian Japanese pancake, which is a simple recipe. And I've heard from someone that okonomiyaki means kind of something along the lines of throw together whatever you want, or mm-hmm. mix match of things. So that's mm-hmm. kind of what it is.
So we got carrots, cabbage, like Chinese cabbage.
Yeah.
I believe it's called.
It's not Japanese cabbage, actually.
I don't know what it's actually called in Japan. And then we've got flour, peas, special Japanese mayonnaise. What's this? This special sauce?
Brown barbecue Japanese barbecue sauce.
Broccoli, some eggs, and some shiitake mushrooms. Is important, right? That there's shiitake.
The shiitake
mushrooms
is very important, and some mirin sauce
mm-hmm.
as well. Really gives it a nice.
What is mirin sauce? Just a sweet cooking sauce.
Yeah,
it says on the packet.
Well read. Yeah, but that gives it a bit of zing along with the shiitake mushrooms, particularly.
Okay.
Yeah. But you can throw in other bits and pieces of veggies, whatever you really want. Yeah. But the key is cutting the cabbage very, very finely,
mm-hmm.
and then using minimal flour, enough flour to bind everything together, but not so much that it becomes very floury like a normal pancake. You want the cabbage to be the bulk of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So first step, we start grating.
Wash this dodgy.
Washing the cabbage.
Oven roasted broccoli, which is, getting us through these hardships, quite a delicious number.
So how are you finding these lockdown times now? Is it getting monotonous yet? Are you?
For me, it's fine for now. What, has it been maybe 2 weeks or?
It's been 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
So everything's closed. Bars are closed. Restaurants are closed. It's only open supermarkets and. Some markets basically.
Yeah. So
it's kind of like Hamburg now. Yeah.
Yeah, and very,
for all
very
these cases.
Strict area you can move around. But I find it okay. I've been pretty lucky that Cambodia has been relatively COVID free and been able to kind of enjoy a lot of things in life. So I had good luck and it's finally kind of run out, I guess, but I don't feel too bad yet, to an extent. I've also got lots of writing and stuff to do, so it's kind of okay for now, but maybe.
And we stocked up on alcohol because they've also banned alcohol sales, so which I don't think would ever happen in Germany. I think there would be some kind of revolt. You could not buy alcohol anymore.
Yeah, no run on toilet paper like in Australia.
No.
They have
the bum guns are here to spray.
Exactly.
So, toilet paper unnecessary. It's a run on eggs. I feel like eggs and rice are the go-tos.
Yeah, and a lot of the market prices on lots of fruit and veg and meat and everything has all gone up quite a bit, which is, you know, all right for us on our mega bucks hosting radio shows, but for average people it's quite tough when you have food prices jump up massively.
And so yeah, so these red zone areas of the city, so you can't leave at all, so they're bringing in food trucks that will like sell the food to people, and also like charities are going around offering people basic food. But yeah, these red zones are really trapped, but we're lucky so far that we're not just outside the red zone by a little bit.
Yeah, it's a bit like the Bob Dylan song. Red zone to the left of me, red zone to the right of me. I'm stuck here in the middle with you.
scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you. And I'm wondering what it is I should do. It's so hard to keep the smile from my face. Losing control, yeah.
We're just grating carrots, cutting up the cabbage very finely.
Yeah.
It's all coming along nicely. The thing is, although we might create this very slowly, because our ability to cook and talk is minimal.
Limited.
But
only do one thing at a time.
But yeah, it's actually a really quick and easy dish.
As you say, it's just about getting whatever, throwing it together, and frying it.
Yeah. Yeah, so everything we said in the last episode about Cambodia being very effective at maintaining COVID being out of the country, maybe we have to take that back. But still, people are freaking out, but it's like a few hundred cases a day.
Yeah, so today, yeah. Just 300 and something. So I think in total now it's up to like 7,800 or something like this. And like 50 deaths. But yeah, it does appear that there's no magical bat-based immunity.
Yeah.
As we...
That theory has been shot.
Flagged. But it's all, yeah, it's all still connected to the original case of the elite Chinese sex workers coming into Cambodia on a private jet and then bribing their way out of security to go to see clients, and then yeah, all spreading from that original February 20 incident.
Yep, so if you're planning to visit Cambodia, just in the profession,
hold off
in the
now.
Profession column, also just don't put sex workers. Yeah. It's a bit taboo at the moment. But they are rolling out vaccines way faster than Australia and a lot of Europe, so there is hope maybe the vaccine race will
help. So it's up to 1.3 million people vaccinated. A lot of military people got vaccinated, but then now they seem to have, well, they tested positive for COVID, so the effectiveness of the Chinese vaccine is not quite, I don't know. I read a study, it's only like 50% or something effective.
Yeah,
still better than nothing.
All the rich countries hoarding all the best vaccines. Cambodia, Australia.
Yeah. Alright, so what are you doing now there? So you're cutting.
So now, I'm just doing little side dish of baked broccoli, which sounds really boring, but if you put it in a big bowl or something and then douse it in olive oil, like, and then mix it around so it kind of coats the whole sides of the broccoli, and then lay it out on the tray, then add some salt and pepper and rosemary, the secret rosemary. And then bake it in the oven until it's crispy. It's super delicious. It's a very, very healthy. It's basically just vegetables and
I've had it multiple times now.
Yeah, super simple. Yeah, we're putting the broccoli into the bowl or whatever to mix it. It's really important because if you just pour a bit of olive oil on top and put it into the oven, it doesn't cover it, coat it quite as well, so you get much better evenness of crispiness.
Yes.
By mixing it around.
Important.
I learned this after doing it the other way for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then a friend in Somalia taught me the trick, and I was like,
So what was your favourite dish to cook in Somalia, living there?
Yeah, good question. Yeah. So it's funny, like this whole like lockdowns and like limited options of things at the supermarket and running out of things. It brings back Somalia times, like when we were living there, that we had supermarkets with quite a limited range. Then you had limited vegetables, various things, which was fine. And a curfew, and you couldn't really move that far. And lots of security restrictions. So I think it was good. It was good preparation for.
So you were living there, working for an international NGO, living in, would you call it a compound, this kind of?
Yeah, it was a compound.
Yeah.
But, I enjoyed it, I loved it. You just get into a pace of life. Somalis are really fun, great sense of humour, had some really good friends.
So how many people lived in this compound area?
So maybe like, we had the office was in the compound as well, so no reason for being late to the office. But also, you can roll out of bed and be at your desk in 2 minutes.
It does sound a lot like COVID, pre-COVID life.
Yeah. Quite easily. Yeah, there'll be times on like your weekend where you might not even leave the compound at all. But that was maybe like anywhere between 6 to 8 of us living there.
And you had sort of shared common rooms. It was sort of like living in a dorm.
Yeah, we had
kind
like,
of environment.
We had one like 4-bedroom kind of house thing, and then another 3 or 4-bedroom like apartment above the office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's good. And then one shared kitchen for both places.
And you'd often cook together and eat together.
Yeah, yeah, a bit. So, yeah, and we'd cook there, do a lot of, yeah, a lot of like roast veggies and things. Sometimes Kenyan colleague would do like some goat, different goat stuff.
What does goat taste like? How would you?
Yeah.
Like lamb?
Yeah, but I'd say like a bit, not necessarily gamier, but like not tougher.
Okay.
Yeah, not as soft. But, yeah, really nice, but like we'd have a few.
How does it compare to horse meat?
Ooh. Horse is quite lean, not being, I guess horse is very lean. I just always remember horse getting stuck between the teeth.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
much.
Stringy.
Yeah.
Choose like Somali food for a year or Cambodian food for a year.
Which Cambodian.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah. Hands down. Well,
why is that?
Normally I don't eat much meat, so that made Somali food a bit of a challenge. But then also Cambodian food is like a lot of spices, there's a lot of variety, a lot of really
similar, not produce. Too far away from Thai food, would you?
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah. Yeah, there's also, it's just like Somalia, the environment is tougher, so it's
hostile.
The culinary reality is different because pastoralism, herd of lifestyle is not as conducive to various
crops.
Crops and cooking experimentation and stuff.
Yeah.
That's not, like, I have great fruit in Somalia, but yeah, it's not. Oh, it's coming.
Alright, so get the mushrooms, cut the... How would you like me to cut these mushrooms?
Thinly diced.
Thinly diced.
Sliced diced.
Is that thin enough?
No, perfect.
Yeah. What would be your favourite Cambodian dish?
Like fish, like ginger fish.
Ah, yeah,
yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, I really love that. But you know, the classic.
Fish and mock.
Oh, yeah, pork and rice, also a classic. So simple, yet Cambodia just manages to make pork amazing.
Yeah, I think pork and rice is my favourite just for having it regularly as breakfast. Because it's just simple, it's just barbecued pork in the morning. So on the street, a lot of barbecue set up with the charcoal and barbecuing the pork in sun. I don't even know what's in their sauce, this magical sauce. And then just that on rice with soy sauce and everything.
Oh.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Delicious.
And something, it doesn't matter where you go, nearly... Pork and rice is always good. Some places are amazing, but it's consistently a winner. So we're cutting the mushroom up into small bits. Shiitake mushrooms. You can use other mushrooms if you want, but shiitakes have a certain vibe to them. They're really good. So, yeah, there's no real system of putting things in, it's just chuck it all in, and peas.
Put everything in, and we've got peas here, frozen peas.
Yeah, the peas are really good, so you don't have to have the peas, but they add a little bit. Nice little crunch to it.
Enough peas, more peas.
Yeah, that's good, isn't
it? Okay, just put like 231 peas.
So yeah, it depends. Thing is, I don't know that much other stuff to use the cabbage with, so I tend to try and use it all in okonomiyaki.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up with quite a bit, so it'll feed four people or something.
Two eggs is enough?
I feel two eggs enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
2 eggs.
And then...
And you mix it around.
Yeah, mixing it around with the 2 eggs, chuck in a bunch of mirin,
buy
a bunch, maybe...
How many tablespoons?
Let's go 3 to 4 tablespoons.
3 to 4 tablespoons.
It's really...
Mm-hmm.
Whatever floats your boat, but mirin's really nice. So I kind of, before adding the flour, which is kind of the last step, just mix everything, get everything mixed already. And it kind of compresses a little bit too with the liquids from the egg and the mirin. And it, you know, sometimes I've made it, you've had to add water, but recently it's just kind of gets enough liquid in there already.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
And you add the flour.
Let's add flour.
How much flour?
So, flour, it's really, you can't say how much. Because it depends how much moisture is kind of in the vegetables, how many vegetables you put in there. But I guess the key is not putting lots of flour in, but just adding it bit by bit. Basically, you want to add some, mix it around. If it's not kind of, if you can't actually form a pancake out of it, keep on adding more and more flour until it gets to the point where you can form a pancake.
Where it all sticks together enough to get.
Yeah. But trying to keep it minimal. And the easiest way to make the pancakes, like as opposed to Western pancakes, is maybe use your hands and just kind of create a ball of the mixture and then just put it onto the fry pan, which we'll do very soon.
Sort of like with bread, making the balls when you make bread rolls, I don't know.
Yeah. So this is pretty close, I think you can just add a little bit. And the other key is, because they're quite heavy with lots of vegetables, so they take a while to cook through, so you really want to, when you put them on the fry pan, cook it on as low heat as possible, and then flatten them out as much as possible, so they're as thin, like they'll still be thick, because you're kind of too thin or it won't hold together, but try and make it as thin as possible, cook it as slow as possible, so then you cook right through. Otherwise, it can be a bit uncooked on the inside if you try and do it too fast.
And then how can you tell when it's ready? Just the vibe.
Just the vibe. So what I try and do is cooking it as slow as possible.
Yeah.
I'll try to make it as dark as possible on one side, and once it's, you know, not burnt but fairly dark, then flip it over and do the same to the other side. Because then that's kind of increases. You're never going to overcook them in the middle, basically.
All this flour, you've got a bit of baking experience growing up with your family having a bakery.
Yes, very
what,
true.
What, how old were you when this was, the bakery was happening?
So my parents had the bakery maybe from age, when I was maybe 8 years old, like 15 or maybe even younger, yeah. Yeah, which was good fun. Hard work for them.
Yeah.
And not very profitable. And super stressful. I highly recommend never buying a bakery.
What motivated them to buy the bakery?
It was actually, my dad worked in the private sector. And it was like the early 90s recession.
Recession in Australia, yeah. So recession we had to have, as it was termed by the Prime Minister at the time, yeah.
So he, lost his job in the private sector, and then my mum and him were like, let's do something different, and they thought about different business ideas, and they decided to buy a bakery. He was in business private sector stuff, so it wasn't a uninformed decision.
It wasn't half-baked, you would
say. Exactly. Like, they thought about it, and they ran it really well, and had all these, you know, different things and specials and stuff.
And how did they learn how to bake all this? Did they take classes for it, or did they, you just kind of look it up, get recipes?
No, so my mum did more of the front of house. Dad did more of the baking, which he, I think he did like a short course with the company or the brand of the...
So it was a franchise.
Yeah, Brumbies.
Yeah, Brumbies. Yeah, right.
So I think he did like 2-month course maybe. on baking, but then they had bakers who did the bulk of baking, but then my dad would do the specialty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then bakers are like super unreliable, so when they wouldn't turn up for work and stuff like that,
he
would go in.
I see.
Yeah. So,
and that starts at that like 4 a.m. or something, or what time?
Back in those days, I'd work like midnight until 8 a.m.
Whoa, wow.
Yeah. So, and working those hours is really unsociable, so they found a lot of the bakers, like a lot of them were really lovely, but had various personality quirks and stuff, so not necessarily the most reliable.
Mm.
And then, as a bakery, you have to have product every day, so if they don't turn up, that's what my dad would have to go in. So it made it really tough for them. Like, they couldn't take holidays and stuff, because you just never knew what was going to happen.
So he'd get calls at 5 to midnight, or in the evening, oh, not going to make it, or they just wouldn't show up and not tell anyone, or...
Yeah, usually they'd come say it would be the very last minute.
And then dad, so you have memories of your dad Peter going, oh, got to go into the bakery.
Really often. And like, at that moment in time, he was like late 40s, early 50s, and so that's tiring.
It messes with your sleep.
It's
just unhealthy, generally.
Yeah. So...
So after school, you would often end up there doing stuff as well?
Yeah, so it was like my first job, and then... I'd go in there on the weekends and stuff. So, like, it was hard for the parents, but for all the kids, like, two of my brothers, my sister, like, we all worked there, and... Yeah, you got good customer service training and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're first starting out as a teenager, like your first job can be hard to get. So it's good to like have a first job with them.
Hands-on.
Led on to other stuff. Yeah, so we enjoyed it. You've got lots of free food, that's for sure. Ate a lot of bread. Probably have bigger muffin top. Had a bakery now.
It's okay, it's radio, no one can see.
Good.
See any muffin tops.
Yeah.
It's alright. We're both attempting, we're working on our muffin tops every day on the terrace, intense workouts.
So is the German audience familiar with the term muffin top? Can you explain?
So if you have a muffin, it's baked in a pan where it circles circular holes in the pan. And then as the dough or whatever is in there, it rises out of the hole. So you have this big formation of the muffin, of the dough on top of the hole, but then the small bit left in the hole. So it's sort of like having your shorts holding your ass and legs, but then the fat coming over the top,
spilling
like
out.
It's spilling out like with the muffin spilling out of the pan. My muffin top is all that whole grain low fat. I know you want a piece of that, but I just want to dance. Checking out my sweet hips, my sugar-coated berry lips. I know you want to get with this, but I'm just here to dance. So back up off of me. You're weeding me out. Everyone knows the most delicious part of the muffin is the top. My muffin top is all that whole grain low fat. I know you want a piece of that, but I just want to dance. Checking out my sweet hips, my sugar-coated berry lips. I know you want to get with this, but I'm just here to dance. So back up off of me, you're weeding me out. I'm an independent lady, so do not try to play me. I run a tidy bakery. The boys all want my cake for free. But if you can't shake your fakery, then kiss my muffin top. Checking out my sweet hips.
So, we'll blame it on lockdown. In these 2 weeks, there's been a body transformation where we've accrued muffin tops. Mm-hmm. Mine more so than Andrew, who's a bit more diligent and exercise.
But still, it's, yeah. But we have a terrace upstairs, so it requires daily intensive workouts.
Yeah, which are fun.
Push-ups, lunges, crunches, Superman,
shoulder taps,
everything, 30 seconds each.
Yeah, which the workout was designed by a friend of ours, Mikkel, who pays a lot of attention to his body. And
he's very well-trained.
Very attractive man.
Well-trained body.
Yeah, so he's designed it for our muffin top needs.
We aim to have the same fitness level as Mikkel. And so, Mikkel's body.
So he's been working out for probably 15 years now, so we're not far behind.
15 years. How often do you think he...
I would say 5 days a week.
5 days a week, wow.
Easily. And probably much more than just that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Right, so the sizzling. This is the sizzling of the... Okonomiyaki sizzles away. So you've got it on the lowest heat possible. So this is Cambodia kitchen, so you just have the gas tank underneath with the burner thing. There's no kitchen built, no oven or stovetop built into the kitchen. It sits on top. Works a treat.
Do you want to describe some of our adventures into the territory of making shakes? That
that's a good idea.
Inspired by, so mangoes in Cambodia are particularly cheap all year round, maybe $1.25, $1 a kilo. It's like a standard price, but then now April, May is kind of getting into peak mango season, so the price plummets even further. So we've been buying so many mangoes, which is then we brought a blender and have been going nuts on making mango shakes. But talk about some of your experimentation. You are the shake master.
I'm the shakester. Because these fruit shakes are common on the streets as like a street food kind of thing, because there's just so much tropical fruit around and all the mango trees and stuff. But we've experimented, so the standard mango shake, where you have, just chopped up mango and ice, but then we've added, I think passion fruit works the best with mango. You can also add this little bit of tin, like canned milk, condensed milk, as it's called. And then...
ginger?
Ginger is the other key ingredient. So yeah. Mango and ginger, and then you can buy coconuts the side of the road here often as well, like fresh coconuts that have all the coconut water inside. So you just put that in, hack open the coconut if you can. Sometimes difficult, I've broken at least one knife now trying to cut open a coconut. Just try to scoop out the flesh of the coconut and put it in the blender as well. And then you just blend it all up and you get a delicious, delicious shake. You can also do it with bananas, banana, cinnamon, and even nutmeg, also with the coconut.
Yeah, so we found the nutmeg and cinnamon tends to go really well with the creamier kind of banana base, whereas like the ginger is really good with the
mango base. And passion fruit, as well.
Yeah, and passion fruit.
And then the last one we tried was just the dragon fruit. You don't have dragon fruit much in German. It's more like a... It's a very interesting looking fruit. Kind of looks like some strange creature, some purple, strange purple creature.
Dragon.
If you will.
Your body's cold, but girl, we're getting so warm.
thinking of ways that I could get inside.
Just squashed, like, so after you've
squashing the pancake now,
lift the pancakes, it's good, like, to flip them over and then try and squash them down.
Can we listen to what the squashing sounds like?
Let's do some...
This is a squash. Yeah, yeah, it's a good squash. You're just squishing them so they're flat as pancakes.
Exactly. Because remember, you want to squash it out as much as possible. It helps the evenness of the cooking.
Mm-hmm. Ah, that's a good tip.
Yeah, it's all about, like, we're talking, like, this is cooking them slowly, but still, we've gone from having nothing, just separate ingredients, to, like, nearly being ready to eat, so...
Yeah, and it's a very filling meal, because it's so dense, and all the
really,
the vegetables, and quite healthy, I think, as well.
Yeah, really healthy. Yeah, you can use, like, wholemeal flour as well to make it healthier, but don't get too carried away.
Nah, that's...
Don't the muffin top just disappear overnight. We've still got plenty of lockdown time left. So.
Yeah, so you get the vibe this lockdown will continue for a long period of time now. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I think hard to say. And after our predictions or analysis from last month, where we were praising...
Yeah, we had a lot of compliments.
I don't know. Like, I think the lockdown is necessary in various ways, but and it's good they've done it relatively early, but I guess, like, people don't have the social safety net and savings and ability to, like, you know, even, you know, people in hotels and stuff, maybe if they have their job, they're getting 50% salary. A friend today told me they work at an international school, they're down to 60% salary. But then a lot of people just have no job because they don't even get a salary, they're just earn money on the streets doing whatever kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think it's hard. Like, how long can it last? I'm not sure, but I do think it'll last a while.
Yeah.
Hopefully not, but I guess the vaccines hopefully make a difference. But
yeah, but there's still, it's only a bit over a million had the first shot, so, and I think they're only starting the sort of second shots now, so it'll probably take a while. So,
yeah.
If some of the vaccines are not quite effective, then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Take a long time. But yeah, like it's interesting, they're still sending these food trucks in, but you still buy from the food trucks, from what I read, the rice and stuff. It's not given away, which is also interesting, but I guess maybe, they don't have the capacity to feed that many people freely. But yeah.
Yeah, they spent all their money on the whips.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, what do you think? Do you think it's going to go on for a while, the lockdown?
Yeah, I think it'll... it seems from research done on lockdowns, it takes at least 3 weeks to make any impact, any significant impact. So I feel like after maybe another month or so, maybe it'll start to come down. But then, like in Australia, you don't want to remove the restrictions because then it's really hard to put them back in again. So I can see them keeping the restrictions for at least like 2 months and then maybe then coming down. But
I think stuff like restricting travel in to different provinces or states, I think that'll be a long time before that comes back.
Because
it's not like at the moment it's largely contained to the capital, Phnom Penh,
but they don't want it to get out to all the provinces and Sihanoukville, which is like this casino gambling paradise, and then Siem Reap, which is the Angkor Wat kind of tourist center. And Angkor Wat's officially closed now, I saw. So they're not issuing any licenses to see Angkor or tickets to see Angkor Wat anymore. So our dreams of Angkor Wat tatters.
Yeah, so we had big plans when
chopped up like a pancake.
Andrew was still in Hamburg and I was already here. We were talking about great plans to go and visit a nearly empty Angkor Wat, which is one of the seven wonders of the world, I think. However many wonders there are.
Whatever,
who knows? Yeah. It's a huge, it's
top
amazing.
Top 10.
Amazing.
Top 10
historical,
wonders.
Historical, archaeological complex from a Cambodian empire of hundreds of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always packed full of people. So we're hoping to do a little trip there where we would be some of the only people there.
Mm-hmm.
But those plans
of... Well, because people are trying to sneak across between the provinces. There were monks that were dressed as policemen. They, instead of robes, they took the policemen, and they've been defrocked now for impersonating policemen to try to get across border, provincial borders. And then there was some Chinese that commandeered an ambulance from somewhere to also try to get across provincial borders. So yeah, basically not going to happen, I think. There's even some Europeans in trouble. So there's a German who he posted on social media on Facebook how he went out after curfew and didn't care, and he got arrested.
Seems he cares now.
And there was two dudes on TikTok that just had a video of them drinking tiger beer and driving around the city. And then they use facial recognition or however they get it. And they tracked them down and arrested them for just drinking beer. So they're pretty, they're pretty harsh here. They don't mess around. They're taking the full authoritarian playbook.
Yeah.
No fucking around.
Unfortunately, we've been exceptional at following the rules at all.
We have. As long as they don't bring in our...
yet to be whipped.
Yeah, yet to be. All right, so the pancakes are coming out. Looking omiyaki, they're looking nice brown. So it's like a combination of different browns with the peas.
And if you add a little bit of oil to the pan before you do it, that makes it a little bit crispier. Optional, but... And then, so yeah, just serve them onto a plate. There's like, and then the sauces are amazing, like the Japanese mayo.
So they're the key, this Japanese mayonnaise, which has a picture of a baby on it, which is a bit odd, but yeah.
It's in this like
super squeezy bottle, which all mayonnaise should be in, and then the barbecue sauce, so they're the key ingredients.
Yeah.
The broccoli coming out. This is a real cooking show. None of this here's one I prepared earlier.
Yeah, this stuff. This is real time cooking show. Admittedly, the broccoli could have gone in a little bit longer, but we are ready to eat after our massive workout.
We've earned it. I'm using cooking mitts, so I bought a packet of cooking mitts. You would assume when you buy cooking mitts that you get one left one, one right one. In this case, two right ones. So the two right-hand cooking mitts. So you need two people, both using their right hands to do any removal. So.
Which we've tried. It's very difficult.
Yeah, it's very coordination. It's exercise movement. So you're squirting the.
Yeah, the squirt bottle. The squirt bottle is, it's very satisfying.
The squirt, lovely. Look at that. Just super creamy, really thick, creamy mayonnaise. It's really the best mayonnaise, like egg mayonnaise, I guess. And just slather it on. It's kind of tradition to do it in a crisscross pattern. So mayonnaise go one direction and then the barbecue the other direction. But yeah, whatever floats your boat.
But aesthetically,
it looks cooler.
Yeah. This one looks terrible.
Yeah. Now you've done well, Dustin. I'm already salivating.
The grading of the carrot.
Carrot grading. I did something. And you got broccoli on the side, so it's a lovely meal.
Yeah.
All right.
Meat free.
It's vegetarian, not quite vegan. What makes it not vegan? The mayonnaise, I guess.
The mayonnaise and the eggs.
And you got eggs, yeah. There's the eggs to keep it all together.
If you have an egg alternative,
yeah,
send us a
send us a message. Make vegan okonomiyaki. All right, that's our HB9 hamburger cooking show edition from lockdown in Cambodia. Thank you, Dustin, for your amazing cooking and baking.
Thanks for having me again.
It's been a pleasure. And we'll see everyone next time. Bye now.
Bye.
Yeah. Okonomiyaki. Yeah. Okonomiyaki. We cooking like okonomiyaki. Yeah.
So now we are up on the terrace. It's a warm night, maybe 3 degrees. Beautifully lit. Andrew brought some Contiki torches.
Yeah.
So we've got this nice kind of torch-lit dinner going on. And the food is being consumed now.
Delicious.
Very delicious.
Delicious okonomiyaki. So delicious.
Exquisite.